the more the better. We've all heard that saying. And sometimes that's true, that the more of some things are actually better. It's better to have more of some things than to have less. For example, when you're doing a harvest, right, Gene? It's better to have a more of a greater harvest than a less of a harvest. That's what you want when you're planting. You're hoping that your trees or your crops will bear a greater harvest than less. So more income for a harvest is better than less, for sure. Or if you're gone shopping, it's always better to get more for your money, right? I know when I go shopping, I like to make sure I compare to see if I'm getting more peas for this can than I am in this one for my money or whatever. More for less is always a good thing, especially when it comes to shopping. The more the better. The more the better is also better when it comes to chocolate. You know, to me, if I have chocolate, more chocolate is better than less chocolate. How about it? Anybody agree with that? Yeah, I see heads shaking out there. And especially if it comes to Nancy Kaufman's cookies. The more of them are the better. Not less, but more. I mean, that makes sense to me. So a lot of things where more is better than less. But God says, though, in his economy, that actually less is more. And our theme of what we want to learn this morning from God's word is that's what God really says, is that less, there are times with God that less is more. But we often think as well that when it comes to the Lord's work and when it comes to serving God, more is better. Because sometimes we'll say, if only we had more people in church, we could do so much more for God. If only we had more people than we do, just think of what we could do. And we fall into that mindset of more is better. But is it really? God says to us this morning, sometimes less is actually more. And God can do amazing things with smaller groups, small things, than he can do even with greater things. Jesus had only 12 people. And those 12 people turned the world upside down. And we're here today because of the impact that Jesus, through those 12 people, had to change the world for eternity. And the scripture that Harold read, just a little bit of background, is we're going to learn this morning that less is more. Today we're going to discover that God often says that. And Gideon issued a call, just to put this whole scripture into context before we look at what it has to say to us today. Gideon issued a call. As we've been looking at Gideon's life, and God had spoken to him and raised him up, and when we first met him, we saw that he was afraid. Gideon struggled with fear, as we learned. And he was hiding out in the wine press when God spoke to him and said, I've sent you, mighty warrior. And Gideon says, don't send me, send somebody else. But God had to finally convince him. He put the fleece out last week, as we had seen. God confirmed it was him. So Gideon issued a call, and 32,000 men showed up. It's a great response. We say, that's wonderful, 32,000. But the Midianites had 132,000. So listen to this through the eyes of Gideon, who is a man who struggled with fear, to see what God is trying to teach him. So 32,000 versus 132,000. How would you like to go into battle with those odds? That's being outnumbered a little more than 4-1. So he issued the call, and that's how many showed up. But God spoke to him and said, Gideon, you got way too many men. There's too many in your army. You can't have that many. So God said to Gideon, issue a call. You have way too many men. So tell them that those who are afraid can go home. That was in accordance with Deuteronomy chapter 20, verse 8. And write that verse down. In Deuteronomy chapter 20, verse 8, God gave a command to Israel that when you're going into war, have the commanders say that if there's anybody that's afraid, go on home to your family. And the reason why God did that was because he knew that they would be a distraction and bring discouragement to the troops. I imagine when Gideon issued that call, if there's anybody afraid gone home, I imagine he wanted to go. He was probably saying, I want to go. I'll go home. But God said, not you, Gideon. You got to stay. So when he did that, guess what? 22,000 of his men leave. And they go home. He started with 32,000. That left him 10,000 versus 132,000. How would you like those odds? But God said, that's being outnumbered 13 to 1 now. They started outnumbered 4 to 1. Now they're outnumbered 13 to 1. And Gideon, I'm sure by this time, was terrorizing with fear. I mean, he was afraid to go before, and now he's outnumbered 13 to 1 as he goes into battle. Would you want to go into battle with those odds? But God said to him, you still have too many men. Gideon, you got to reduce your troops. There's still too many there. So he says, take them down to the stream and watch them as they drink, and there I will sort them for you. And those who get down on their knees and kneel, and those who pick up and lap it in their hands like a dog, he said, keep the ones who lap it out of their hands, and send everybody else who gets down and kneels home. And watch them when they drink. And so they did. He did. And when that sorting process that God did, by that time, he ended up with 300. Now he has an army of 300 men versus 132,000. Dane, how would you like to go into battle with that, with an army of 300? You're facing 132,000 against you. Yeah, pretty interesting. Now you're outnumbered 440 to 1. Boy, imagine Gideon's fear now if you were in his place. Knowing already what we know about him, that he already struggles with fear. He's already a man who lacks courage. And now he's gone into battle outnumbered 440 to 1. If I was Gideon, I think I would be shaking in my shoes right now, wouldn't you? There's probably a chill going down his spine. And I can imagine Gideon saying this. If he was afraid before, how do you think he felt now? I mean, how do you think he felt? I can imagine Gideon thinking, God, what are you doing? What can 300 men do against such a formidable foe that we're facing? Do you ever have that feeling, God, what can I do? What can I do? I'm so insignificant against so great an enemy that I face. What can we here in our small church do for the kingdom? What impact can I have? I'm only one person. What matter? What difference can I make? How can I face an enemy so great alone? Have you ever felt that way? And we can sometimes feel insignificant. And how are we ever, God, going to have victory? How am I ever going to accomplish anything? What are you doing? How can I have victory against the foes that I face? And Gideon must have felt that way. But God reduced the troops because he wanted Gideon to learn a very valuable lesson. And a lesson that he wants us to learn. He dramatically reduced his troops, and there are several reasons why. And through this reduction process of these troops being reduced down, we're going to discover five practical reasons why God says less is more. Why in God's economy, having less is better than having more. It doesn't make sense to us, but God's ways are not ours. The first reason why less is more is God made him reduce the troops so that we will remember that God alone deserves all the glory. God wanted Gideon and the nation of Israel to know that it was not their strength that this battle was going to be won. That the glory was not to go to them. We see this in verse 2. Look with me in verse 2, and we see this. It's very clear. Where he says, the Lord said to Gideon, you have too many men for me to deliver Midian into their hands. In order that Israel may not boast against me that her own strength has saved her. God says, you have too many men, and if you go into battle with an army of 32,000, Israel's going to think it was that they did it themselves. And they're going to take the credit. And you're going to take the glory for yourself instead of giving the glory where it belongs to. There's one of the traits of us as human beings is that we often like to take credit for things that we're not really deserving of. We like someone else does something and we like to take the credit for it for ourselves. We like to take credit for something that we don't deserve getting credit for. And that's our pride within us. And so God said, no, you got to reduce. The real hero of this story, we're going to discover, is not Gideon. The real hero of this story is God. Because how could 300 men defeat 132,000 unless God enabled it? I mean, and he wanted Israel to remember that. This God alone was to receive the glory. And in our life, God sometimes wants us to remember that he deserves all the glory for what happens within us. For all that is done for us and through us. It's not us doing it. It's God working through us. And the glory goes to him. Remember, the scripture says, whatever we do, whether in word or in deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. To his glory, giving thanks to God the Father through him. He deserves all the glory. So, two reasons for the reduction. One is our pride. And the second is God's glory, that it goes to him. Turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 8. And listen what God had said to Israel. Deuteronomy chapter 8, beginning at verse 10. And you can write these verses down in your sermon notes. Chapter 8, verse 10 to 18. He says, when you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord, the God, your God, for the good land he has given you. But be careful not to forget the Lord your God, failing to observe his commands, the laws, and decrees that I am giving you this day. Otherwise, when you eat and are satisfied, when you build fine houses and settle down, and when your herds and flocks grow large, and your silver and gold increases and is multiplied, then your heart will become proud, and you will forget the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt and out of the land of slavery. He led you through the vast and dreadful desert, in that thirsty and waterless land with its venomous snakes and scorpions, and he brought you water out of the hard rock. He gave you manna to eat in the desert, something your fathers had never known, to humble and to test you in the end so that it may go well with you. You may say to yourself, my power and the strength of my hands has produced this wealth for me. But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth, and so confirms his covenant which he swore to your forefathers as is today. If you ever forget the Lord your God and father other gods and worship and bow down to them, I testify against you today that you will surely be destroyed. God said to Israel, don't forget me, and it's my strength, and it's my power. The glory alone goes to him. So God says less is more to remind us that he alone deserves the glory. Less is also more so that we learn to rely on God's strength and not our own. When Gideon was going into a battle with a force of 300 men against 132,000, there was no way that Gideon could rely on his strength. A strength force of 300 could no way was a match for 132,000. There was no way. And Gideon had to learn to rely on God's strength, not on his, because if he relied on his and the strength of his army, there was no way that they could win. God sometimes says less is more, and he reminds us that it's so that we will rely on him and not our own strength. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7, Paul says, we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. Because what we will see as this story unfolds is the weapons that God gave Gideon's army to use was not a sword, but it was a clay pot. And a clay pot, again, to show that God's glory and power was working through them. It was through the strength of God working in and through them. So remember that God is reminding us he wants us to rely on his strength, on his power. Not on us. Zechariah tells us it's not by might or by power, but by his spirit. We, says the Lord. God also reduced the troops to teach Gideon a third lesson, and us as well, and that is that we would realize that God's provisions are enough. Gideon had to learn that what God provided for him was sufficient, and he didn't need more. Sometimes we think we need more, but God says, my grace is sufficient, my provision is perfect for you. And God's provision is enough. Look at verse 8. When the men who lapped stayed, and the men who knelt got down and kneeled, the water was dismissed. There were 300 left, and the rest of one home. Everyone went to their home. The 300 men were left. So it says in verse 8 that Gideon then took the rest of the Israelites to their tent, sent the rest of them home, but he kept the 300 who took over the provisions and the trumpets of the others. Now we could pass over that and move on and say, okay, God put it there for a reason. It's significant, but we can think it's part of the story and miss the impact of what he's saying there. It says that he sent everybody else home, but he kept their provisions for the troops. And the troops that he kept were their trumpets, their clay pots, and their lanterns that they were going to use in the battle. How many men were there? 300. We're going to discover that each one of those men had a clay pot, had a trumpet, and had a lantern. Where did they get them from? The rest of the men who were sent home. So what's that teaching us? Is that God supplies our needs, no more and no less. But his provision was exactly what was needed for Gideon and his troops to have victory. Isn't that awesome? That's how God works with us. That his provision for us is always enough. And he taught us in the Lord's Prayer, the model prayer, one of the petitions he taught us were to ask him for, was give us today our what? Our daily bread. Did he say, give us today our bread for a year? He said, give us today our daily bread, meaning provide for me what I need for this day. And that's how God's provision is. And living by faith is trusting him that he will provide for our daily need. And in God's economy, his provisions are always enough and he can stretch it out. Remember that beautiful story of the Shunammite woman during the time of the famine in Israel. And God sent the prophet Elijah to her house. And all she had was a little bit of meal that she was preparing for her last meal for her and her son. And Elijah the prophet said, make me a cake first. And trust me that God will supply. And make me a cake first. And she did, and she made it for him. And she went back into the jar expecting to have no more supply. And you remember what happened as she did? It kept multiplying, and she had enough to sustain her through the time of the famine, because God's provisions are always enough. We can trust him in that. We're prone to worry, we're prone to get anxiety, or we want more. Sometimes we want more. When Israel was wandering through the wilderness, those 40 years in the wilderness of wandering under Moses, every day he provided them manna from heaven. But you remember what the scripture said? He provided enough manna for how much days? Every day. Every morning they had to go out and they had to gather it for that day. The provision was just what they needed for each day, except for the Sabbath. Then it was double. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 4. And listen what Paul says. Paul says in Philippians chapter 4, beginning in verse 10, I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you have renewed your concern for me. He's writing this from prison. But he said, indeed, you have been concerned, but you have had no opportunity to show it. Verse 11, I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need. I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want, for I can do all things through him who gives me strength. Paul said, I've learned the secret of contentment, of being contented with what God provides for me, not always desiring more or that I have to have more, thinking the more the better. No, God's provision is always enough. And trust him in that. Another way we see that illustrated is through Operation Christmas Child Shoeboxes. You all have heard us tell stories before how God has provided through those boxes just exactly what is needed. We've heard stories of how he has provided through children that were blind, and they all received in the boxes things that all dealt with hearing and not sight. I've heard stories where children needed shoes, and they hardly ever people put shoes in boxes, but they got the shoes they needed in the exact size. And we hear so many stories of how God provides in those ways, just showing his great insufficiency. So God's provisions are enough. Also, we learn, fourth thing from this story is that we can rest in God's sovereign hand. In verses 9 through 15, God then said to Gideon, during the night, the Lord said to Gideon, and I love God's sense of humor. God has a sense of humor, and he knows us well. He also knows us so intimately. But he said to Gideon during the night, verse 10, if you are afraid to attack, go down to your camp, to the camp with your servant. Now he said to Gideon, if you're afraid to attack, you think he was? He knew he was. And God knew Gideon was afraid, and he's encouraging him here, but it was also kind of a sense of humor. If you're afraid, I mean, of course he was. And he said, go down to the camp and listen to what they're saying. So he arrives down to the camp. It says, verse 13, Gideon arrived just as a man was telling his friend a dream. And he said, I had a dream. And he was saying, a round loaf of barley bread came tumbling down into the Midianite camp, and it struck the tent with such force that the tent was overturned and collapsed. And his friend responded, this can be nothing other than the sword of Gideon, son of Joash the Israelite. God has given the Midianites and the whole camp into his hands. And when Gideon heard the dream and its interpretation, he worshipped God and returned to the camp and cried out, get up, the Lord has given the Midianites into your hands. God reduced the troops so that Gideon would learn to rest in his sovereign hand. And he showed him comfort here. And God, it's just as Gideon entered the camp, a man happened to be sharing with his friend a dream and the interpretation of it. And do you think that was coincidence that Gideon happened to arrive at that particular point in time? You think that was all coincidence? Of course not. It was the working of God. And God wanted Gideon to see rest in my sovereignty. Realize that behind everything, I am in control of it. My hand is there. My hand is guiding. My hand is directing. And God is guiding the events of life, working them all out for our good according to his plan. And Gideon could trust that, even though it seemed 300 against 132,000. It seemed impossible. But God was guiding and directing through the process. And it didn't make sense to us. And in those times when we're going through, when our faith is stretched and we're afraid, and Gideon's faith was stretched and he was afraid. But as he learned to rest in the sovereign hand of God and trust his hand, when we can't see his heart, we can trust his heart and we can follow his hand and his leading and just rest in him and know that he is there for us. It was an encouragement to Gideon as he said, go down to the camp and listen. And was encouraged by it. And his faith was strengthened. And we also learned that through less is more, we also learned that we recognize that God's plan is always best. God's plan for Gideon was different than what Gideon thought. And he told him, he said, take the 300 men and divide the troops in verses 16 to 25. Gives us how the battle happened. He says, take the 300 troops and divide them into three groups and arm them not with a sword, but with a clay pot, a lantern, and a trumpet. And Gideon says, on my command, break your trumpet, break your clay pot, sound the trumpet, and light the lamp, and lift it high, and shout for the Lord and for Gideon. And that's exactly what happened. And they gathered around, they surrounded the troops, and the Midianites were down below. Gideon and his men were up on the high ground, and in the middle of the dark, in the middle of the night, when it was dark, they sounded their trumpets, they woke the men up from their sleep while they were still. And if you've ever been startled in the middle of the night, have you ever had that experience where you're in a deep, sound sleep and all of a sudden the alarm goes off or a fire alarm goes off and you wake up in the middle of the night like, where am I? And you're startled. It ever happened to you? That happens to me sometimes. I'm like, what day is it? Where am I at? And while the men were trying to figure that out, they broke their clay pots and inside them had the lamp. And all they saw around them was 300 lights lit. And they thought that each one of those lights was maybe a whole battalion of men, each one of those representing a whole bunch more, but it was only 300. But they thought they were surrounded by an innumerable force. And so in their panic, they began to slay each other. And they turned on each other, and that's what happened. And God brought the victory, and they didn't have to fire a single shot because God's plan was always best. And when the victory was won, they knew that the glory could only go to God. It was in his strength. It could not be through the hand of Gideon. And God's way is best. So our thinking, God's ways are not our ways. And our thoughts are not God's thoughts. Gideon's thinking was the more the better. And God's thinking was the less the better. Because God's thoughts are not ours. And Gideon's thinking was, the more the better. God says, the less the better. So what did we discover from God's word this morning? Is that we need to look to him and trust in him. And through him and through his power, God is at work. God sometimes wants us to remember that it all comes from him. And to him be the glory. What amazing back victory was done through the power of God at work through Gideon, as he relied on God's strength alone. All glory goes to him. His strength is not our own. His provisions are enough. Rest in his hand and realize that his plan is always better than our own. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this story. It reminds us, Lord, that little was great when you were in it. You took a small boy's lunch of a few bread and fish. And from that, you multiplied it. And you fed 15,000 people that day with much left over. Because little was much when you are in it. And Father, for those times when we feel so insignificant, like what can we as one person do, or what impact can we have as a small church or whatever, Lord, you do great things through people who are yielded to you, so that the glory doesn't go to us, but the glory goes to you, so that we realize what is accomplished is not accomplished in our strength, but only through you, and that your provision, what we need, is just enough. You provide not more than we need and not less than we need, but just what we need for the task you call us to do, for the need at hand. And thank you, Lord, for that. And thank you, Lord, that your way is always best. We may not know it, understand it at the time, and that we can rest in your sovereign leading. Behind all things is your hand at work, guiding and directing, and we can rest in you because you know what you're doing. So, Father, may we learn the lessons of your word this morning and be encouraged by your truth and live for you faithfully as we follow you each day. Thanking you that less is more. We don't, with you, we have all we need. And greater who is the one who's in us than the one who's in the world. When we look at the enemy around us, we feel outnumbered. Lord, may we be encouraged again by your word through this story that God and us make a majority. And God in us, you working through us, is all that we need. Thanking you, Lord, for your power and your grace through Jesus Christ, in whom we pray. Amen.